in Europe, in the 1100s and the 1200s and the 1300s, they record in the Svarim and the Shulchan Aruch that all over Europe, they would only duchen on Yom Kippur during the daytime. And even though the Mishnah says they're supposed to duchen during the Ilah, since most of the shuls, the chazan gets to the end of the Chazaras HaShatz of Nila, in the middle of the night, it's way after the Shkia, so they wouldn't duchen in the Ilah. Mishnah says in Tayyip that they're supposed to duchen in the Ilah, but they didn't have the practice to do so because in last week's Sedra, in Parshas Ekev, Pasuk says that the Levim were chosen. Hashem chose Shevet Levi, Lusharso, or the Baruch Bishmo, to do Hakrov for the Kohanim, to do Hakrov as Hakrovonis, and to recite Duchen, to recite the Sias Kapayim. And the Gemara says that there's a hekesh between Hakrovus Karbonis, the two are compared, Hakrovus Karbonis and Duchening. And just like a coin whose Makro Karbonis has to do it in a standing position, Ba'amido, if it does the Hakrovus Hakarbonis in a sitting position, it's possible he has to do it over. So too the Kohanim on the Duchen have to stand. So all the Rishonim assume, based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, the end of Tainus, that the same is true regarding Yom as opposed to Laila. That the Mishnah is pretty clear that there's no Duchening at night. And the Rishonim assume why? Because just like Hakrovus Karbonis has to be before the Shkia, so Duchening has to be before the Shkia. So they write that all over Europe, they wouldn't duchen by Nehila when the Chazan finished Nehila in the middle of the night, except for Frankfurt. Meaning Frankfurt always was that they would duchen even though by Nehila would be in the middle of the night. So now it's also like all over the world, nobody duchens by Nehila except for Breuz. And Breuz carries over all the Minhagen from Frankfurt, even though everybody else outvoted it. Breuz is like by the Svarim, they never change. They still say Agdamas in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, and they still have Tkiya Shofar on Rosh Hashanah the way they had the Minig B'Shtei Yeshivas. The whole world moved on, they changed it. They still do the Minig from the Minig B'Shtei Yeshivas like they did in the days of the Goyim. So it's interesting, the Svarim write that here in Morocco, in several of the communities, the Minig was that they would duchen by Nila even though it would be in the middle of the night. They don't document it, but my guess is that this was probably after 1492 when the Geirish Svarad occurred, in 1497 when the Jews left Portugal and they came to Morocco, the Megurashim came to Morocco. They introduced all the Minhagim from Europe. They introduced all the Minhagim from the Yekis because the Rosh, we mentioned already, the Rosh moved to Spain and they introduced all Ashkenazi Minhagim in Spain. And then when the Spanish Megurashim came to Morocco, they introduced all the Yekishim and Hagim here. So my guess is that it probably started at that time. The defense for this practice is, you have the Shagasari wrote a sefer on Gemara Tainus. So on Gemara Tainus we have Pirush Rashi, which the Mepharshim says is apparently not by Rashi, it's by somebody else. And every so often he writes something that's very strange. So the Shagasari has a sefer on Tainus, where he rips apart every time Rashi says something extra, more than what it says in the Gemara, he says it's not correct. And every time Tesis says something more than what it says in the Gemara, he rips apart Tesis. He disagrees with every Rashi and every Tesis in Tainus. So the last piece in the Gevurah Sari, Amaseches Tainus, Shagasari Sefer is, he comes to defend the Minhag Frankfurt, this practice, and he says, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that you don't duchen by Ma'ariv, because there's no Chazaras HaShatz by Ma'ariv. Not because there's a din, you can't duchen by Ma'ariv, there is no such din. You only duchen at the conclusion of Hakrovus Karbonis Tzibur. And that's what led Rabbi Yankov Emden to believe, incorrectly, that duchening today is only with the Rabbanon, because we don't have any Hakrovus Karbonis Tzibur. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbi Yankov Emden, and he says it's against all the Gemaras. He assumed that duchening today is Menatar. So the question is, he's not right, but he is right. The Gemara Sof Kosof does say that duchening has to take place, and Sias Kapayim has to take place at the conclusion of Hakrovus Karbonis Tzibur. So the justification for our assumption that duchening is still deraisa b'zman hazeh is that when we got in Shemoneh Esrei on a regular day, we end up we listen to our prayers. Then we say the next bracha. We say, please listen to our prayers and answer them. We just said that. The boss is back to the next bracha, the same thing. So the Mefarshim explained, the Mishkanes Yankiv has this, that Ritzui is a technical term that appears in Tanakh several times in connection with Hakrobas HaKorbanis. The Mishnais have, if the korban is good, so it's called Hurtzo. If the korban is fossil, it's considered Loi Hurtzo. It says in Chomish, V'yurtzo go l'chapero. Ritzui is always a term that appears in Tanakh, Ruba de Ruba, appears in Tanakh in connection with Hakrobas HaKorbanis. So when we say Shema Kaleinu, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept that feelings. When we say, "Say Hashem, Makene Ba'am Chisol of Esfilosim," we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept that tefillah as if we had offered a korban. So when a Yochid davens tefillah Balachash, Ritzei accomplishes to convert the tefillah Sayochid into a korban Yochid. When Chazan recites the Hazaras Hashatz, that's tefillah Satzibur, and he recites the Bracha Ritzei, so this converts Min HaTorah. This works Min HaTorah. It's considered as if the Chazan offered a korban tzibur. So at the conclusion of korbanos tzibur, you have duchening. That's why we assume today that duchening is still min haTorah. Yom Kippur, they write in the Sefer Morak Tzio, on Shulchan Aruch HaRachem, that duchening today is only the Rabbanim, because the Gemara says in Seika, duchening is only the Rais at the conclusion of HaKorbanos korbanos tzibur. Mishnah Berurah says that he's wrong. What do you do? But the Halacha says, it's only the Rais after HaKorbanos korbanos tzibur. So the Mishkan is Yankiv. Mishkanes Yankiv explains, and the Karanaira quotes it, that when the Chazan recites the Chazaras HaShatz and he says the Bracha Ritzei, the Gemara says the Kohanim have to go up to Duchen to start walking towards the platform to Duchen before the Chazan finishes the Bracha Ritzei, because it's the Bracha Ritzei that enables us to Duchen. Ritzei converts the Tfilas HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur, and that's what enables the Kohanim to Duchen. So the Shagasari explains that there is no such halacha that there's no hakrobas karbonis balayla. There are certain specific avoidas hakarbonis that can be done balayla. The dalar avoidas adam shkita kabol halacha zrika cannot be done balayla. But haktoras emurim can be done balayla. And hakrobas menochas and zochim, yisachayayin can be done balayla. So it's only avoidas adam. And korban mincha, there are dalal avoidas that are parallel to the dalal avoidas adam, but all other hakrobas karbonas can take place balayla. So the pasuk that says in last week's sedra that the duchening is compared to hakrobas karbonas, it never says that it's compared to the dalal avoidas adam. It's compared to the shara avoidas karbonas. So that's what the Shadisai writes to defend the minig in Frankfurt, and that apparently was the minig in quite a few kehilas here in Morocco as well, that they would duchen by Ne'ilah, even though the Ne'ilah would be in the middle of the night. The Mishnah says in Tainus that even though Min HaTorah Kohen is only obligated to duchen once a day, every day, if called upon, we don't duchen, usually in Chutzlah, we don't duchen every day because we don't call upon Kohen, we don't call upon the Kohanim to duchen. Why don't we call upon them? So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. But if you don't call upon them to duchen, so they're not mechuyav. But even if you do call upon them, so Min HaTorah they're only obligated to duchen once a day, every day. Not mechuyav to duchen more. But the Rabbanim, the Meir HaTakana, they have to duchen in Shacharis, in a Musaf, in a Ne'ilah. Mincha, not the Gemara has a whole explanation why. The Shacharis, Musaf, and Ne'ilah, they're mechuyav to. So the minhag developed all over most places of Chutz La'aretz that we only call upon the Kohanim to duchen on Yom Tovim, and Shacharis is a tefillah that you daven all week long. So we only call upon them to duchen by Musaf. We don't call upon them to duchen by Shacharis. But again, in Breuers, I'm from Washington, in Frankfurt, on Yom Tov, they don't duchen every day, they don't duchen on Shacharis, they duchen on Yom Tov, but duchen Shacharis and Musaf and Ne'ilah. Each tefillah they duchen. I have a friend of mine, he used to be in the administration in the yeshiva. So he became very close to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So his father, he himself lived in Teaneck. But his father used to live in the neighborhood in Washington Heights, and his father used to daven in Breuers. So his father used to visit The Rebbe would always joke with him about is he davening in Broyas, is he following the Nagim. He once visited the Lubavitcher Rebbe after in between different sukkahs. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe asked, "Nu, did you do it three times on Yom Kippur?" He said, "Yeah, they do it there on Shacharis and Musaf and Nila, the way it says in the Mishnah." But I found that very interesting, that the minhag here in several kehilas in Morocco was like the minhag in Frankfurt, that they would duchen by Nila, even though it would be in the middle of the night.
And if you noticed, in all of the Sidurim, they had Sim Shalom from Irib as well. Truth of the matter is that there were two minhagim in the different communities, what the text of the concluding bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei should be. In many kehilas, the nusach was Sim Shalom for Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Me'ila, and Ma'ariv. All the time you say Sim Shalom. In other kehilas, the minhag was you always say Shalom Rav, the shorter version. And the practice that we have is really a compromise, that we say sometimes Sim Shalom, sometimes Shalom Rav. Some say by Mincha and Ma'ariv Shalom Rav, some only say by Ma'ariv Shalom Rav. This is a compromise to make a pshara between the two different minhagim. The Ramah, both in the Dark Emotion, his commentary on the tour, as well as in the Shulchan Aruch, writes that this is a compromise. But here they didn't compromise. Here the minhag was that they always said Sim Shalom. Regarding Tachnun, the Zohar was very popular here for many centuries, from the days of the Rishonim through till they all moved there to Israel. They were all very, very involved in Zohar. So, apparently, based on some passage in the Zohar, which I'm not familiar with at all, you have to have the intelligence of a 40-year-old to study Zohar. I'm not up to that yet. So, based on some passage in the Zohar, says that it's a sakana if you recite the opening pasuk Vayama David Al God Niplan of the Ad Hashem. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that you shouldn't say the opening pasuk, and here that was a very common practice, all based on that passage in Zohar, to leave out the opening pasuk and to start from the Perek and Tillim for the next line. Also based on a passage in the Zohar, Vilna Gaon had the practice, and here many of the Rabbanim in Morocco had that practice for many years, that when you recite Tachnun, you recite it in the Nefilas Apayim, you lean on the left arm. Our left side is, if we're facing the Shechinah, so it's the right side of the Shechinah. So based on the passage, we have the practice that when we daven Shachris and we have Tefillin on the left arm, so you lean on the right arm. When you daven mincha, you have no tefillin on, then you lean on the left arm. And here, they had the practice, Vilna Gaon also had that practice, based on a passage in Zohar, that you always lean on the left arm, even when you have the tefillin on. The only thing is, and it says in the Zohar, that if you don't have proper kavanah when you recite the tachnun, if you don't pay full attention to the words of the tachnun, and you're doing the filas apayim on the tefillin on the left arm, this may be a sakana. And that's why after many centuries, they discontinued this, many discontinued the practice, because they were afraid that there was a Yiridus Adoris, and the people are not having sufficient kavana when they say Tachnun. So they did the way we do, that you do Nefilas Apayim on the right arm when you have the Tefillin on the left arm. You must have noticed that when a person gets an Aliyah, so first the Balkari shows them where the Aliyah begins. And then there are two minhagim, there are two opinions, and quoted in Shulchan Aruch, whether the Ola LaTorah should roll close the Sefer Torah before he says the bracha before the Aliyah, or he should dafke recite the bracha with the Sefer Torah open. This is based on a gemara at the very end of Maseches Megillah, where the Tanoim are all concerned, there's a machlekes ha-tanaim, they're all concerned about the possibility that if a person will recite the bracha with the Sefer Torah open, the participants in the shul may mistakenly think that bracha is ksuvas batar. They'll think that in addition to the parsha, in addition to the psukim, you also have the brachas written in the Sefer Torah. And not only is one not allowed to have anything, not allowed to have an extra word, an extra letter in a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to convey this mistaken impression to the public, to the listeners, as if brachas k'suvas b'Torah. So one Tana is of the opinion, the first Tana in the Brisa is of the opinion that you look at Poseach v'Roeh, you open up the Sefer Torah, you look at the right place with the psukim that you're going to lay. Then you close the Sefer Torah. You say the bracha when it's closed, in order that people shouldn't think brachas k'suvas b'Torah. You open again the Sefer Torah, you lay, and then you close the Sefer Torah to recite the brachas at the end. And the other Tana says that not so. Second Tana, I forgot, one is Rav Meir, one is Rav Yudah. I think the first one is Rav Meir and the second one is Rav Yudah, and we pass like Rav Yudah. Rav Yudah says, Paseach v'royeh u'mevarech. You open up the Sefer Torah, you look where you're supposed to start the laying, and you can say the bracha with the Sefer Torah open. So Tosfos, on that daf, the very end of Megillah, Tosfos says, Rav Yudah says it's not necessary to close the Sefer Torah, but if you will close it before you say the bracha, that'll even be better. He certainly agrees with Rav Meir that if you close the Sefer Torah, it's better. But he says it's not necessary to close. It's not necessary to be matriach. If you want to, you can leave the Sefer Torah open. But many Achrayim assume that the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos and understood in the Gemara that when you open up the Sefer Torah, you have to leave it open when you say the first bracha. There's a concern people will think brachas k'suvas b'Torah. So the old minig mentioned by the Ramo used to be that the Oil of the Torah would turn to the left, turn a little bit to the side. And clearly he would not be looking in the Sefer Torah. He would clearly either be reading the brachas from a sitter or from a piece of paper on the shulchan, or he would say the brachas by heart. The later minig developed, the Mishnah Berurah says we don't have that minig anymore to turn to the left. You have the minig, you look straight ahead, and you close your eyes, and everybody sees you close your eyes, and you're not reading. No one will mistakenly think that you're reading the brachas from the Sefer Torah. So here in Morocco, the minig was for many centuries that they were makbid to follow the Rambam, because when the Rambam lived here, he saved them. Many of them converted to Islam officially, but they still continued to observe mitzvahs, and the Rambam was mechazik them. And he said they should continue to keep all the mitzvahs, and that's why they always followed the Rambam. So they followed the Rambam, and the simple meaning of the Rambam is that the Pesach Halacha is he's supposed to dafki say the bracha with the Sefer Torah open. The Bach, quoted by the Magen Avraham, says that if you're going to close the Sefer Torah before you say the bracha, Shabbach Abano, then the bracha will be over the over. The meaning is that one is supposed to recite the bracha over Lasi Yosam. Over doesn't mean the same as Kodem. Kodem would mean before you do a mitzvah, half an hour before you can say a bracha. Over Lasi Yosam means immediately before. So the Bach says that if one will close the Sefer Torah before he says the bracha, then open it again, so then the bracha will be recited over the over. We usually understand this Bach to mean that it'll be over the over, it'll be way in advance. And others understand the Bach to mean no Alpidin. When you open the Sefer Torah, then there's a Chiyav Kriya. When you close it, there's no Chiyav Kriya. So if you're going to be reciting the bracha when the Sefer Torah is closed, that's over Lasi Yosef before the Chiyav. Kolzman, the Sefer Torah is closed, there's no Chiyav to learn. But the bracha after the Aliyah, Shanah Salmano, that L'choladeh, as everyone agrees, that one is obligated to close the Sefer Torah first before you say the bracha. Or here a lot of times they don't close the Sefer Torah. So you have to put the mental on the Sefer Torah so the words should be covered up. Kolzman, the ksav is still open, you have to keep on laning. So how can you say bracha Shanah Salmano if you didn't finish laning yet? Outside of the city, we're outside of the city, so I'll recite Tfilas Aderech. Everyone is recommended to stay along. Many of you will certainly be aware of the fact that many Sfardim say Mezainas when they eat matzah all year long. Yosef Karo writes in the Shulchan Aruch, he's known as the Mechaber, he's the author of the Shulchan Aruch, as opposed to the Ramo who wrote the Hasogas on the Mechaber. Yosef Karo writes that if you eat bread that was baked in a biscuit form, that's like matzah, the bracha is buried in the mezuzah. Only on Pesach night, when they're kovei asuda, does the matzah require the bracha of hamotzi. Or if you eat a ton of matzahs, like if you eat the cake, you say buried in the mezuzah. If you eat a lot of cake, then the bracha becomes hamotzi, and you have to recite birchas hamazon. You have to wash until it's done with a bracha. So many of the Sfarim, all the Sfarim have that practice. They'll say Bar Min Zayin Nisan on Matzah. So many here had the practice in Morocco. Many had followed the recommendation of the Fido. The Fido himself did not live in Morocco. His grandfather, his name was Chaim Yosef David Azulai. We were discussing before about the Fido. He wrote many Sfarim. He wrote something like 75 or 85 Sfarim. And each Sefer is a whole Sefer. He wrote an encyclopedia of Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Be'eh, the encyclopedia of Agadah, all kinds of encyclopedias. He lived in the 1700s when the Jews started writing encyclopedias alphabetically arranged. And he wrote among the many Sfarim that he wrote a Sefer that's called Shem HaGadolim. The first half of the Sefer he has alphabetically arranged the names of all of the Rishonim and Achronim that he heard of, Shem HaGdolim. And the second half of the Sefer has Shem HaSfarim. He was a big bibliographer. He, whenever he would travel in Europe, he was a mishulach for the Yiddish Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael to raise money, to send all the money to Eretz Yisrael. He used to travel around Europe raising money for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So he writes in his Sefer that his family name is Azulai. There are many who told him the word in the street was that the name Azulai is an indication that the family are Kohanim, because Azulai is a Rosh HaTevis, Isha Zayin of HaChalol Lo Yikochu. He writes that it's not correct, he is not a Kohen. He doesn't think that the name Azulai has anything to do with Kohanim. In fact, there was a student in Yeshiva 10 years ago by the name Azulai. I asked him if he's a Kohen. He said, no, Azulai is a non-Jewish family name as well. It has nothing specifically to do with the Jewish people. So this Chidor, Chaim Yosef David Azulai, he was born in Eretz Yisrael. He learned by the Arachaim HaKodesh that year and a half that the Arachaim had a yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So he learned by him. He's the one who went visiting all the cemeteries with the Rebbe all the time. He was a teenager. And the Arachaim HaKadosh took all the students to visit the different tzaddikim, kibbutz tzaddikim. So his grandfather, though, wrote a sefer Chesed LeAvraham. His grandfather lived in Morocco. He was a big mekubal. They were all very much into Kabbalah and into Zohar. His grandfather's name was Rabbi Avraham Azulai. He lived in Morocco. So because the Azulai family had a connection with Morocco, so the Moroccan Rabbanim adopted many of the positions of the Chidor. So one of his recommendations, one of his chumras is that you should never eat matzah unless toich hasuda all year long, because it will be a machlokes, whether you say mezonos or you say hamotzi. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends like that. Whenever there's a suffix, the different kinds of cakes, where there's a machlekes, where the bracha is supposed to be hamotzi on the zaynus, and the mechaber writes, you should only eat this kind of cake, the chasuda, so it'll be covered for sure with the bracha of hamotzi. So many rabbanim in Morocco adopted such a policy, like the Chidor recommends. Many svarim just follow the mechaber. That's it. Matzahs and zaynus all year long, except for Pesach night. And here, the rabbanim from Morocco followed the recommendation of the Chidor, because the Azulai family had a connection with Morocco. The grandfather of the Chidor originally lived in Morocco. So they adopted such a policy, only to eat matzah and toch hasuda, so for sure it will be covered with the bracha of hamotzi. The Dina de Gemara, says that on a tonis, one is obligated to mention Nishmak Oleinu, to add on Aneinu. The tefillah of Aneinu, and the Chazan adds on a bracha b'fnei atzma between Goel Yisrael and Rifa'enu. In Goel Arayfi, he adds on a bracha b'fnei atzma. So we did it tomorrow. This tefillah of Aneinu should be recited even on Leil Hatainus. Let's say the night of Shivasa B'Tamuz, even though people are going to go home after David and Mar are going to eat supper. The Tanis doesn't begin in the morning. But the Gemara says, nonetheless, the day is the Yom HaTanis, Therefore, you should recite the bracha, the tefillah, Anein Hashem Aneinu, Liyom Tzom Tani Seder, because tonight, the night of Asar B'Tevis, the night of Tzom B'Dali, the night of Shavasta B'Tamos, is the Yom HaTanis, even though you personally are not fasting. And then the Gemara says that Matzoi Tanis, when you daven Arav and Shul, then you're going to go home and eat supper, so you've been starving, you haven't eaten for the longest time. So even though you're starving, you don't say Aneinu, because Ma'ariv of Matzoi Tanis, again said Biyom Tzom Tani Seder. So you don't say Aneinu. So we have the minhag all over the world. We all follow the Rosh's recommendation. And we only say Aneinu by mincha because we're afraid that we may forget, we may mistakenly eat on the tonnes, though we may not feel well the rest of the day. We may have to break the fast. So it'll be as if we're doiva sheker if we said Aneinu biyom tzom tani seder. So we have the minhag that we only recite, the Chazan says, the bracha Aneinu in Shacharis. Because the Chazaras HaShas, it's a tefillah on behalf of the whole tzibur. So it's not shy of that every single member of the tzibur is going to make a mistake and eat, or every single person is going to not feel well and eat. At least someone is going to be fasting the whole day on the tonnes. So the Chazan says Aneinu in the morning, that's not a problem. But Kol Yochid B'Yochid, our meaning is the Yechidim only recite Aneinu by Mincha to make sure that we're not saying Doi Bashkor. So here in that's from the Rosh, even though all of the Minhagim, many of the Minhagim of the Rosh were brought into Morocco by the Megurashim, so this Minig was not brought over here. Here they say that the Minig always was, that they say Aneinu, even in Ma'ariv. Kedina de Gemara, they followed what it said in the Gemara. We have in Eastern Europe, they had a Minig, I don't know if they had it all over, that on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, and Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, when you open up your Kodesh to take out the Sefer Torah, so usually you say Brit Shmei, even on Monday and Thursday mornings on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but on Shalosh Shugalim and Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, in addition to Brit Shmei, you say the Yud Gimel Midas three times. And saying three times is problem number one. Is that proper to say? The Mishnah says, one who says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad twice, or whatever, more than once, it's highly improper. The Mishnah says that it's Mishaskin also, you should scream at him, that you shouldn't say that. There's a popular minhag that everybody's saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They keep on saying over and again, over and over again, the same question. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to do that. Sometimes it's Mishaskin also, you should scream at the person, tell him he should stop, and sometimes you just tell him afterwards that it's not proper. But for sure it's not proper. It is as if to imply that there's more than one God if you say it more than once. So saying Yud Gimel Midas more than once is also proper. Why is our minute to say three times? Leni Gdolim had the insistence that you should only say Yud Gimel Midas once, not to say three times. But there's a question of Chalal. Reciting Yud Gimel Midas is the Derech Tchina. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Vayabra Hashem Al Panu Vayikri, after the Chet HaEgel, HaKodesh Malamit Shenisata, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Kishli HaTzibur, HaKodesh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in a vision. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was given the Tariyat Mitzvahs, the Didim that have known throughout all the future generations, was given direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter, he wasn't given a vision. But whenever he was given a nevuah or a ruach shor, not really a din v'toyre, so then he was given a chazon and a chalom and a mare, a nevuah, like the other neviim. That's how Rav Levi Yitzchok Berditchever explains in his Sefer HaChumash, Kedusha Slavi, and many other Kabbalists for him, right, like that. That Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was osius and ikudas. That's when he was given the Taryag Mitzvahs that annoyed the Doris. And the other Nevi'im got a vision. They received a vision. And they had to interpret the vision using their own language. And the Gemara says, Einstein Nevi'im is not even singing an effort. So Moshe Rabbeinu also, when he got a Hirosh Shoah, when he wasn't told Dinim that annoyed the Doris, so he also got a vision and had to interpret it. So the Gemara says, "Vayavar Hashem upon him, Vayikra Malamish and Isatav Our Kadosh Baruch Hu Kishliat Zibur." Moshe Rabbeinu had a vision, and Hashem Yisburach appeared as a Shliach Tzibur who put on a talis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu recited, you give him leaders. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Zman Shebon Echoitim, Yasa Lefani Keseita Hazeh, Vani Moicha Lahem. The question is, are reciting Yud Gimel Linus is really a form of a trina? If your mother said the Parshas Kisisa, so you say Yud Gimel Linus as a psukim, and you recite the Pasuk Shalom, you're not mafsik in the middle. But when we recite Yud Gimel Linus, let's say on Yom Tov by Psichas Ma'ora, when they take out the Sefer Torah, we don't say the entire Pasuk. We stop the Nakei. We don't say Lo Yenakei Bakei Ovid Ovis Habonim and so on. You don't finish the whole Pasuk. The answer is because we're saying it, but there is tefila, but there is trina. No, but there is trina. So how do you say, just like on Yom Tov, Shacholias B'Shabbos, Menigas, you don't say Yud Gimel Menigas. On Yom Tov also, you shouldn't say trinas. So that's why many Gdolim were opposed, even from Eastern Europe, many Gdolim, many Tzaddikim were opposed to the Menig. Many were opposed to the Menig of saying three times Yud Gimel Menigas, like Shema Shema. Even to say once Yud Gimel Linus, many were opposed on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is a different story. Yom Kippur is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed this secret to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayav HaShem Alpana Vayikra was on Yom Kippur. That's why the Minhag HaGoyim was that you say some Chazaras Hashatz, you say 13 times Yud Gimel Linus in the Slichas, say 7 times, 8 times, they have they write down the number, how many the Rishayim and the Goyim write, how many times they say Yud Gimel Linus in each one of the Tfilas on Yom Kippur. So here, in Morocco, this was a very common practice, that they would refrain, they would have the practice only to say Yud Gimel Linus on Yom Kippur, not to say on Shavuot Shmigdolim, and not even to say on Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says that there's some kind of a sakana to eat fish and meat that were cooked together. Gemara says the sakana is that one, by eating fish that was cooked with milk, with meat, one can develop saras. Magen Avraham lived in the late 1600s, and he says he hasn't heard for many centuries that there's any sakana. Doesn't think that the Gemara still applies. Just like all of the other medical recommendations, all the health recommendations that the Gemara says, the Gemara said, based on the latest scientific theories of their generation, they listen to the doctors of their generation. So we should follow the Tanaim and Amoraim. We should listen to the doctors of our generation. In L'chayla Shefet Shebi Anachon, medicine keeps on advancing, just like science keeps on advancing. So the Magen Avraham thinks that maybe the whole thing doesn't apply to Islam. So Ashkenazim only have the Minhag, so we usually avoid it. Shach writes in Yeridaya that the sakana, even if one assumes it is a sakana, sakana is only if the fish and the meat were cooked together. If they were cooked separately, you happen to eat them together. The Shach says that, strictly speaking, there's no sakana. Usually the women are so concerned, they have two different forks. One fork for the fish and one fork for the meat. You should really be more careful about cholesterol and potato chips and other fattening things that the doctors of our generation say for sure are real sakonis. Okay. So we should be careful to use the pills. We should do things to take care of our health. If we're worried about this imaginary sakana, that in the days of Gemara, the Goyish and Dakhli said it's a sakana. So you should certainly be concerned about the things that for sure are sakana. Anyway, so Ashkenazim assume that the sakana that the Gemara says is only if you have fish that was cooked with meat. But if you have fish that was cooked with milk, that's not a sakana. So Shach writes that even though the Beis Yosef, quotes on it, Shonim has said that if they have fish cooked with milk, that's also a sakana. So the Shach writes that that's a misprint and we don't follow that. But many Sfarim do follow that practice, and that was a common practice here in Morocco as well, that the Rabbonim used to insist that the Balabatim should be careful to have fish fried in butter, that apparently everybody did, that's not a problem. But somehow fish cooked with milk, they considered that sakana. Many years ago, when the bells in Hasidim broke off from the Badats of the Eda Haredes, and they made the wrong Bezdin, and they gave the wrong Hashgachas, did their own Sibigit and Chalitzas and so on. They no longer joined along with the Badats of the Eda Haredes. So they had to justify why did they break away. So the Pashtus is everybody, and then they made their own newspaper, the Machaneh Haredi, and so on, everything is separate. Pashtus is because they decided they're going to take money from the Memshalah. Because the Eda Haredes holds you're not allowed to take any money from the secular government in Eretz Israel. Rachmana Litzlan. They took billions and billions of dollars from the government to help build their invitation Beis HaMikdash, the big Beis HaKnesset that they have in Yerushalayim. So when they started publishing the newspaper, the Machaneh Haredi, in the very beginning, the first and the second week, so they had to justify why they broke off. So this was one of the reasons that they quoted, that the Badats gives a hashgacha on restaurants where they cook fish and milk, because the Badats is Ashkenazim and they follow the Shach. And Chalila v'Chalila, they hold that you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to cook fish with milk because of this sakhman. Some of the communities here in Morocco had the practice that at the end of all of the 15 Birchos HaShachar, you say every morning, that bracha does not appear in the Gemara. All the other brachas, all the other brachas appear in the Gemara. Shalos Ani Yavin, Shalos Ani Isha, everything appears in the Gemara. And Amar Hashem Me'ena, it does not appear in the Gemara. So that was a big debate in the days of the Gaonim and the days of the Rishayim. Is that really permissible to recite the composed new brachas? The Gemara seems to say, simple reading of the Gemara seems to imply, that it's not proper to compose new brachas. The Gemara says, Achek Nesak Doyla was a body of Rabbonim at the beginning of the building of the second Beis HaMikdosh, that consisted of 120 Chachamim, Ubahem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst them were several Nevi'im. They, with the Koyach HaNevu'ah, the Koyach HaChochmah that they had, they composed all of the brachas and all the tefillas, Kiddush and Abdullah, they composed all the Nusach HaBracha. It's not proper, it's not permissible to recite new brachas outside of what they compose, because the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Mi yimaleh duras Hashem, yashmia kol tehillosa." Who has the right to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? One who knows how to recite properly the Shevach. Someone's going to, let's say, a hillbilly. The Gemara gives a mashal, a hillbilly, a farmer is going to praise the king. So the hillbilly has no hasaga of money. So he's going to say, King of Morocco is so rich, he has $250 in his bank account. $250 the poor people have in their pocket. They don't need it in their bank account. We need $250. If you don't know anything about the Rabbanu Shalom, so whatever you're going to say may be a joke. You think that you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and maybe saying something very silly. So that's why the Gemara says, the Anshik Nesak Doiva, who were big Chachamim, Ubahem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst them, with several Nevi'im, so they knew how to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all the brachas and all the tefillas are based on biblical expressions that appear in Tanakh in different places. That is the premise of the whole Sefer Avodah. It shows you the Makor in Tanakh for every stitch, every line, and every bracha in Siddur. So this bracha, Nesem Yavkech, didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. Many gedolim were of the opinion that it's not proper to say the bracha. Pesach Hagro, they leave out the bracha. So here in Meknas, they had some of the communities, several of the communities here in Morocco, they had a minig that all the brachas they said were Shem Hashem, Shem Malchut, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kena Melech Olam. Whenever there's a suffix bracha levatola, so the Achrayim usually recommend you should say the bracha Beli Shem Malchut. Lishem Malchus, basically, you're not yotzei the bracha. The Gemara says, "Kol bracha shem Hashem Malchus, ain't a bracha." You're not yotzei the bracha. But that's so really nigger at the end when you have a suffix bracha. So you don't say the bracha. Suffix bracha is la'akam. And if you say the bracha without Shem Malchus, so you're not yotzei anything. So zeichet to a bracha. So there were communities here, Beknas and other communities, where every day the whole Kehillah would say, Baruch HaNos and Le'yach Koyach. Instead of saying, Baruch HaTo Hashem, Okein HaMelech HaOilam, HaNos and Le'yach Koyach. Say, B'li Shem HaMalchus, the whole Kehillah. It's surprising. Usually these kind of psharas have like big Tamir HaChamim to do. But to have the Balabat to do like that, you just sidrei the oilam. Just make everybody meshugah. It's the same the bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadosh Hashim Chabarabim. That bracha also didn't exist in the days of the Anshei Chesed Olam. That bracha was composed in the Middle Ages, in the days of the Crusades. In Shulchan Aruch they call it that if a person is about to be killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, because of the fact that he's Jewish, he should recite a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, okay, and Baruch Ata Hashem, Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch, Kaddish, and Shmo Barabim, say a Bichas HaMitzvah. In the days of the Crusades, the Jews every day when they woke up in the morning, they didn't know what's going to be later in the day. They were on the Pachad Misa every day. They didn't know what's coming their way today. What good news is going to befall them today? So they introduced the practice that every day, Kaddish Hashem Chabarabim, sort of the takeoff on this bracha, that one recites, the Bichas HaMitzvah, one recites as they're about to be killed. Al-Kiddush Hashem. So this bracha that was recited every day, this doesn't say in the Gemara. This was introduced in the Middle Ages. That's why many say, you shouldn't say Shem HaMalchus. So that was the practice that they had here in Eknas and several other communities. And the bracha Nosim Le'evkach that we recite every day, the meaning was that they recited the whole Kehillah, they recited the bracha, only Shem HaMalchus.
Okay, so soon we're going to arrive to Meknes.